I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2 if you'd like to follow along. Luke chapter number 2, very familiar story. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now even go into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them."
Amen. All right. Good way to start. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 9. We cover the same scripture Sunday morning. We'd like to delve into it a little bit more and then head on over to the New Testament. I would like to just start out the message by reminding you that when God created the heavens and the earth, He said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He said, Let there be light. Let there be light. You'll find as you study there in Genesis chapter 1 that God created the sun, moon, and stars on day 4. What was the light on that very first day? If it wasn't the sun, we know it wasn't the sun, then what was the light? And I believe without a doubt in my own mind that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is the light. And He shone there on that first day. The Bible says there in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Talking about Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And there are multiple other scriptures that point us to the conclusion that Jesus Christ came in bodily form, and He literally was that light on the first day. And what a truth it is, because again, it runs throughout the Old Testament. As we find when Moses had completed the tabernacle, that the glory of the Lord came down upon that glory of the Lord in the form of a light. Now again, God is not light, but He manifests Himself as a light. So make that clear tonight. And so Jesus manifesting Himself there as light on that first day, and then the Shekinah glory came down and dwelt in the tabernacle there as Moses completed that tabernacle. In fact, the Bible speaks as when Moses went in the tabernacle and spoke with God, as God dwelt between the cherubs there on top of that mercy seat, and as God spoke to Moses, that when Moses came out of the tabernacle, that his face, Moses' face, shined, that it glowed from the from having spent time with the Lord. And there's a lot of message there as well. But just get in your mind now as you think about it. From the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, we see that Jesus is the light. And then we see this light, the Shekinah glory, come down in that tabernacle, and there to manifest Himself with Moses and with the priests. And then as we go along, and Solomon completes the temple, that's one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, a magnificent structure. And when they completed it, Solomon had this great celebration. I mean, you talk about music, you talk about preaching, you talk about everything that went on, and the Bible says that the Shekinah glory came down upon the temple and dwelt in that temple, and there dwelt in the Holy of Holies between the cherubs, that God dwelt there, manifested Himself there as a light. Well, in Isaiah chapter 9, 700 years before Jesus was to come, 700 years before the Messiah was to come, Isaiah prophesied and said this in verse number 1, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali," and I mentioned to you that city is Nazareth and the city of Capernaum, "and afterward did more grievous afflict her by way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. And the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Man, what a marvelous thought, as the prophet is looking into the future and saying that in a dark time in society, that the light would come. The light is going to come. 700 years prior to Jesus' birth, the prophecy of Jesus coming as a light in a dark world was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. What a wonderful prophecy. And then Jesus stood up in John chapter 8 and said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I told you Sunday that John the Baptist looked and said, "Here's the light." John the Baptist said, "I'm not the light." I'm going to read that here in a moment. John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus says again, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus claimed to be this light from the very beginning. John chapter 12, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light." That you may be children of the light. John 12:46, Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." And then John chapter 1, if you want to turn there, I'm going to be in verse 4 through 9, but I'm just going to read it. But what a tremendous passage. What a tremendous passage. The apostle, speaking of Jesus, said, "In Him," verse 4, John chapter 1, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John," speaking of John the Baptist. "The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light," capital L-I-G-H-T, "that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light," and you ought to underline that in your Bible, "the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." That lighteth every man that cometh into the world. As we know, as we can illustrate, that a cockroach does not like the light. You turn on the light, man, the cockroach is head for the hills. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is a light. And when He shines, man, darkness flees. And the reason why our world does not like even the term Christmas is because it reminds them of the light. And they're in darkness. You know, we make such a big deal of it, and we should. We're in America. Christmas is a part not only of our Christian heritage, but it's a part of the tradition and fabric of America. And it should be contested. In other words, we should contest it. We should hold firm and do whatever we can to still allow our kids in school to say Merry Christmas. And the military is under just a lot of pressure here of late, of not being allowed for kids to sing in some of the VA hospitals Christmas songs. It's amazing what the attack we're under today. But let's all boil it down here. We make a big deal of it, and we should. But let's remember, those people are in darkness. They're in darkness. And when we shine the light, it bothers them. I want to remind you, and I'm not going to have time tonight to go through all this. You can take the word light and study it throughout the Bible. But when Job, remember Job had lost everything? And Job and his three so-called friends sat around and philosophized and talked, remember? And Job says many things about light. But one of the ways in which he describes light is that the light of evil men will be put out. His three friends were saying to him, well, you have sin in your life. There's something here. All this is befalling you because there's sin in your life. And Job describes it as God snuffing out evil men. He said, God hasn't snuffed my life out. I'm still here. Let's remember that. And then Job also describes that conscience is a part of that light that God gives us. And I think that's what's described in John chapter 1, where he said, He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man, according to Romans chapter 1, is given, when they are born, is given the stamp of the law upon their heart. God stamps the law upon their heart. The reason why human beings are not animals is because we're moral creatures. Animals are not moral creatures. Hello? He said, preacher, I didn't come to get preached at tonight. This is supposed to be candlelight service. I'm feeling good tonight. This is great stuff. Man, let's be reminded. Man, we're moral creatures. And God has given mankind a conscience. Now, in various areas of society, and we are born into this world with a conscience, but a lot of those consciences are warped. You can't trust your conscience until you get saved, amen? And then your conscience is there and the Holy Spirit's there. What a great thing. But the reason why, and I'm doing this because of what's going on in society, maybe covering this a little more than normal. The reason why people are so upset about Christmas, I'm talking about the society out there, is because they're in darkness and they have a conscience. They have a conscience. It's not just a morally aware conscience, and I'm going to use this phrase, it's a God consciousness. In other words, they know there's a God. There's no such thing as an atheist. They know. And they flee from the light because they don't want to be accountable to their Creator. They don't want to be accountable to God. And so therefore, they flee, just like cockroaches, just away from the light. Jesus was that light in the beginning. He was that light there for the children of Israel in that dark time in which they lived. Man, you think about that. There in the wilderness and there in the temple and God dwelling between the cherubs. And then the prophet watched the light leave the temple. And I'm not going to go into all that tonight. But what did Isaiah say? The light's going to return. The light was there. The presence of God was there in Israel. And then one day the light left. The prophet watched it leave. The prophet watched it rise above the temple, watched it go to the outer gate, and then watched it go into the wilderness. And then the prophet Isaiah here prophesying the light's going to return. And the light did. The light returned in a little town of Bethlehem. Born in a manger. The light of the world. He was and is the light of the world. It's the same light that Paul saw, or Saul on the road to Damascus. It's the same light that Paul gave to those. The Bible describes Paul in Acts 26:18 that he was to open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light, that he was to be the light to lighten the Gentiles. Paul was that Olympic torch for the Lord. I hope tonight you know the Lord. I hope tonight you have seen the light. I could sing a song that goes with that, but I won't do it. I saw the light. Y'all know where I was headed. I'm glad that the Lord gives us light freely, that we simply believe and trust in Him and Him alone. Again, John 8:12 that I mentioned a moment ago, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you know the light? Have you received the light tonight? If you haven't, you must simply repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believing that He lived, that He died, and that He rose again. And you can have everlasting life. You can have the light. There are such great benefits in having the light, having eternal life, the blessings and joy of knowing where you'll spend eternity, in heaven. I'm so thankful to know that when I lay my head down tonight, in that old farmhouse that my great-grandparents built years ago, where I slept when I was a little kid, and it was really cold when I was a kid, when I lay my head down at night tonight, I know that I'm going to heaven if I was to die. I can sleep soundly. Amen. I'm glad today there's sunshine in my soul. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine. Amen. Where the happy moments roam and roll. Amen. I'm glad I have the light. What a glorious light it is. And then let's, again, as we do every year, dwell a little bit on what we must do with the light. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says we must walk in the light. That we should walk in the light. That we should walk in the light. 1 John 1, 7 says, but if we walk in the light, we have, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That we should follow in Christ's steps. That we should walk in His light. Amen? We should be reflectors of the light. We are the moon. We're to be reflectors of the sun. S-O-N. And in our daily lives, as we approach the new year, we should reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be a light. And yes, sometimes as we reflect the light of the Lord Jesus, it's going to cause others who are in darkness to, you know, to repel away from us. Or to get a little upset at us. We must be the light. We must be the light. Just as Moses, when he came down from Mount Sinai, his face glowed. And so should our face glow as we spend time with the Lord and fellowship with Him. I really believe, as Bible-believing Baptists, that we should get back to the basics. I say this every year. Back to the basics. Just simply as a Christian, that we should get back to praying. Fellowshipping, walk in the light. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. It's just as simply as this, prayer. And I'm telling you, we as Christians should have a prayer life. We as Christians should have a Bible reading life. We should be reading our Bibles on a daily basis. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is a light for us. It's a lightsaber. Teenagers didn't like that? All right. It's a lightsaber. It's a lightsaber, isn't it? Am I saying it close enough? Saber. Now it's become an animal. But we must take the light, right? We must follow the light. We must be a light. And the Word of God is that light. Basics. Bible reading, prayer, attending church, tithing, serving, witnessing, all of these things. And then lastly, as we think about sharing the light. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And we should be that light. And as people see our light, they should glorify our Father which is in heaven. They should see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I think too many times we try to hide the light. Amen. I think it's just not burning as brightly in our life as it should be. Mine included. We must never hide the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I think about this for a moment, that we must be as Christ and be that light and Paul and share the light. And this is the work that we should do. In Luke chapter 15, I'm going to give you just a couple of things here. In Luke chapter 15, when we studied the three parables, it's been a couple of years back, and it talks about the lady who lost the coin. Remember, the lady who lost the coin, and she had 10 and lost one. And it says that she went to find it, that she lit a lamp and went in to find that one coin that she had lost. And that coin was precious to her. We've described how that coin was probably a part of her dowry. That coin may have been a part of a bracelet. It was valuable to her and costly, and she wanted to find the coin. And so she went in the house. She lit a lamp. She went in and looked inside the house, and she began to dust and sweep and turn furniture over and looked everywhere. But it talks about her going in there and sweeping and cleaning and trying to find that coin. Can I remind you that we need to be the light? We need to go and find those who are lost, those who are in darkness. And it's going to cost something. It takes a little sweeping. It takes a little work. I read a story about a town in England in the 1800s. And they were having some problems with burglary and just people being robbed on the streets and being attacked on the streets. And it was a small village. And so the city council got together and said, what's the best way for us to handle trying to combat these thieves? And so they decided that they would make an ordinance that every house in the village would put a candle out in front of their house, kind of like we would think about a light on the porch. And so they made an ordinance. Every house in the little village had to put a candle out on the porch. And so they passed the ordinance, and so everyone went out and they put a candle. Yes, they put a candle out on the porch. But they didn't light it, because the ordinance didn't say you had to light it. So the city council met again the next week and said, all right, we're going to pass an ordinance that says they got to have a candle, they got to have it outside on the porch, and they got to light the candle. Well, they did that. Put the candle out on the porch, lit the candle, but didn't care whether it went out or not. So it just got blown out. So they decided, okay, instead of candles now, we're going to put lanterns out. Well, they did that. Put a lantern out, but didn't put no candle in it. City council, I can just see, this is just typical, isn't it? And so the next week or whatever, the next night, they said, all right, got to have a lantern. You got to have a candle in it. You got to have it lit. And so they did that, and they put the smallest candle they could find in there so it would go out as quick as possible. Now, for us, it's not that big a deal. But in the 1800s, a candle was important. A candle was costly. Whether it was made out of wax or made out of lard. I mean, I studied that today. They made them out of everything in the world you can think of. And they were costly. And so it meant something for them. It cost them something to put that lantern out there and to light that lantern and to keep it lit. So the city council finally passed an ordinance that said you got to have a lantern out there and you got to light the candle, and the candle has to be, and they had to actually to give the actual length of the candle and how long it had to be lit for. And the townsmen, most of the townsmen were doing anything they could to do as little as possible and to keep it to themselves, because it was costly for them to put that candle out there and to light that candle. For aren't we the same way? We may go a certain length in spreading the gospel. We may do a few things. But how about all the way? When's the last time that you personally gave the gospel to someone? I'm talking about you personally. Not talking about giving missions money in the offering. I'm talking about you personally gave a tract. You personally talked to somebody and gave them the gospel. That you didn't just follow the command of the Lord Jesus Christ when He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That you didn't just do it halfway. You did it all the way. It's not our job to save anybody, but it is our job to give them the light. Holy Spirit does the saving. Amen. It's only my job to be the light and then to give the light. You can't just be the light. You have to give the light. And then you give the light and you go all the way with it. You tell somebody about Jesus. When's the last time that you personally told a kinfolk, or you personally told a cousin or an aunt or a neighbor or a coworker or whomever, you personally gave them a tract, or you personally talked to them and gave them the gospel? Again, our job is to give the gospel. It's the Lord who does the saving. So I'm not asking you whether you led somebody to the Lord or not. I'm asking whether or not you tried to lead somebody to the Lord. That's our job. And that's the way we ought to be the light of the world. Jesus said, don't hide your light under a bushel, but put it on the candlestick. Shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen? And we need to let our little light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Give the light out. You say, well, boy, we live in a dark world. We do live in a dark world. And more than ever, our world needs the light. Yeah. Philippians speaks about us being a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We need to be the light of the world. I said this a few months ago when I was preaching. You know, God always has our best interests in mind. He didn't give out laws and rules so we couldn't have any fun. He gave out laws and rules to protect us from ourselves. Amen. And if you were to ask yourself a question, is America better off now or 50 years ago when prayer was in school and we can make the laundry list? Which is better? Oh, we've come a long ways economically. But now you have to lock your doors. We've come a long ways economically. Golly, but look what's happened in the other areas. And we, as Christians, say, well, preacher, what can I do about those things? Be a light. Be a light. You say, well, I'm just one person. One person can make a difference. God, one person, D.L. Moody, one young man got into church, they called him Crazy Moody. He was a shoe salesman. Got saved and turned the world upside down. One person. You say, well, I'm not going to turn the world upside down. We don't know that. But what if he leads somebody to the Lord who does? Amen. Let's be the light. Let's be the light. Let us share the light. I love that old song. There's a call come ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. That's what we're to do. Amen. Amen. I want to be that light. All right. I still, one of the best illustrations of this is when we turn the lights off here. We're going to do that here in just a minute. And somebody want to go around to the back and get the baptistry light for me, Brother Clark, or Brother Lance, somebody? He's going to beat you to it, Brother Clark. But there'll be other things. One of the greatest illustrations of this, it's just amazing what one light can do. We always say that, kind of in our own mind, we say, what can one light do? By the way, Jesus Christ wouldn't give us a command that could not be fulfilled. When He said that we should go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature, if He said that, then it can be fulfilled, right? Amen. And so, one light can make a difference. We've seen this in history. We've seen this in even in general. I think about Dr. A.V. Henderson and the impact one man can have on multiple thousands of people. It's amazing. One light. One missionary. One person can have an impact on multiple people. You say, well, I'm the only one at my work that doesn't cuss and chew and go with girls that do. Well, you're the light. Keep being the light. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. At one point, you'll get an opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. I promise you. If you're living right and you're following Jesus and you're being a light, you're going to get an opportunity. The Lord's going to send somebody your way that you can give the gospel to. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Amen. I'm glad I'm not out there in darkness. And not just because of heaven, but just because of my life. I'm not dealing with all the junk those people, the world out there is dealing with. Man, what a blessing. But one light. One light can make a difference. All right, go ahead and turn the lights off if you can. I hope nobody gets scared. Let's try to see how dark we can get it in here. Brother Clark is just running around like a madman. Oh, yeah. We got Christmas lights to deal with, too. Let's see if we can get real dark. That was close. Aren't you glad that you know there we go. That's awesome. One light can make a huge difference. I would like those on the piano side, this one row over here on the piano side. We're going to start over here in just a second with you guys. And instead of passing the flame to the second section, just keep it over in the first section for right now, okay? And we're going to have to be quick because we want to be careful with the wax. So, Brother Doyce, if you go ahead and light your candle. Just one candle. It's amazing how much you can see. I think it's Brother Hokett that has it. It's amazing that I can already tell who's holding it, Miss Mary. And as it goes on, it's amazing. Yeah, go ahead and use yours to light others around you. I think about our missionaries in the Philippines and all the things they've gone through in the last 6 months. And yet, Brother Hunter is still there being a light, winning people to Jesus. I saw where he was up running 200 or so in his church now, has like 100 children in his Christian school there in the Philippines. And what a great job he's doing sharing the light there. Think about Brother Brinkley there in Scotland, who has he's been there 10 years and has about 20 converts. And what a hard field that is, but yet he's still sharing the light there. So there's a difference between sharing the light in Kenya or sharing the light in Brazil and sharing the light in some of the European countries. But the light's still going out. Brother Burgeon, y'all remember Brother Burgeon? And we're looking forward maybe to get to see him here pretty soon. And what a difference the light makes. But just this one section over here, how much a difference it makes. Isn't it amazing? Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and ye are the light of the world. All right, guys, some of you along this edge, go ahead and light some of the ones next to you. We'll start at this direction. I think about Brother Stevens, who's going to be here pretty soon. One of our missionaries there in South Africa. He works in the bush. I mean, he works way out in the middle of nowhere and works with those who we would typically think of working, who live in, you know, grass huts. Just amazing what he does. I think about families that we have touched in the last several years, Brother Juan and Eva Garcia Rodriguez. Just think about the lives that they have touched in turn. Go ahead, Brother Tracy, and go ahead and spread it. Some of you are a little skeptical about spreading your light. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you. Look at there. Without fluorescent lighting. I was reading so much about candles the last couple of days, especially today, and the different ways in which they make them. The smells, yeah, the smells and everything else. And how important they were. I know they're not as important today. Now we have, what is it called? Scentsy, those little candles that don't even have candles. But this was so important in the 1800s and all the way back until electricity came. Poor people would make their candles out of lard, out of fat. And it was amazing how they would shape that fat and have to be so careful with it when they let it not, you know, it would get hot and just develop into a ball of grease. They would use all sorts of things for the wicks, you know, twine and just all sorts of things they would use. I'm glad God uses all sorts of people, amen? It don't really matter how rich or how poor you are. God will allow you to be a light. And your light, look at this, this is amazing, isn't it? This is a big room. And all of us could leave and go out and go in. Isn't it amazing? It was amazing. I could stand up here and I could see one light. I could see Brother Hokett's face. Just one light. One light, you can make a difference. As you sit around the Christmas table, you can talk about the Lord Jesus. Instead of talking about Obamacare, let's talk about Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up. Instead of talking about football, let's talk about the Lord. Be careful. Make sure you read the Bible, read the Christmas story to your kids and your grandkids. You say, well, my kids might say this, or well, it's your house. Read the story. It'll take 5 minutes. Let your kids and grandkids know that Christ is the reason for the season. And then we're just a few days away from the new year. Let's be a light. Amen? It's a difference what a one light can do. Rich or poor, ugly or pretty, you can be a light. Amen? All right, let's turn the lights on. Let's blow these things out before they... All right. I appreciate you coming tonight. Some of you are going to leave yours blowing and get wax on our new carpet. Yeah, it's probably my son. Josh, why don't you blow that thing out? Visitors, thank you for coming. I hope you come to a regular service and come visit with us. I mentioned already the prayer requests. do be in prayer for them. Remember Brother Jack and Jackie will be moving this weekend. Remember them in prayer. And it's good to see the Harrisons. They'll be with us one more service. But to remember them. Remember Brother Clem. I know I talked to his wife today on the phone, and you could tell she was real distraught. Let's remember them in prayer. And what a blessing the Clem family is. Remember them in prayer, okay? All right. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Be safe on the roads. And I'd ask Brother, was Brother Renz, were they? They're out of town, I guess. Brother Cox, would you come? Is Brother Renz here? There he is. Brother Renz, would you come? And appreciate our deacons. Brother Renz, one of our faithful deacons. Brother Fiesler, Brother Deuce. And I appreciate Brother Renz. Brother Renz, you come and dismiss us in prayer.
The birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that the whole sole purpose of His coming was that He might sacrifice His own life and shed His own blood for our sins, that we might have a way to make things right with You. And Father, we pray as we go home tonight that we will continue to remember the reason for this season and to share it with our family members and friends. We thank You for what You have done for us through this year, and just the fact that we've made it because that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Thank You so much for Your goodness to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.